Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God. And I thank God for the opportunity for allowing us to come together to fellowship one with another in the Word of God. I pray that everyone had a great day, a great week, great times, peace, joy in their hearts, love for one another. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank God for the opportunity. Well, at this time, we're going to talk, and I'm going to give you the title of the lesson. The title of the lesson tonight is something that I think is so appropriate in these trying times that we are living in. The lesson says, if you are worrying, begin to pray. And if you are praying, then stop worrying. That's a great formula, y'all, and it's true, and it works. I'm coming from the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse. Glory, hallelujah. And at this time, we always play a song. And once the song is played, we come back and go to God's throne of grace and prayer. And then we'll expound on the word of God together. So this song is Just a Prayer Away by Yolanda Adams.
I know.
Storm out of there.
Yes, that was Yolanda Adams. She was letting us know that God is just a prayer away. Hallelujah. And we're going to go to the God's throne of grace and prayer. God is affording an opportunity for anyone who would like to pray at this time to lead us to the throne of grace. All opportunities are provided by God. If anyone would like to pray, they could press the one button on their line. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the God of everything, the God that provides us with everything that is necessary for us to live a righteous life, the God that strengthens us to do his will, the God that has given us his word for us to understand his way. The God of mercy, the God of peace, the God of joy, the God that's long-suffering, the God that is full of love and gentle towards his children, the God that promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and all of the weapons in this evil world that's forming against us, they all won't prosper. God has a master plan in store for all of our lives, and it has an intended purpose. And we just have to cooperate. God provide everything that is necessary, and we just need to cooperate and stand in the gap and allow him to lead as we follow. The God that has given us his word, his son, and his spirit. The God that never fails, cannot lie, and won't change. The God that sets high and looks low, that's given us all of our desires, our needs, many of our wants. He's protecting us from danger seen and unseen. Hallelujah. He has made a way for us that we can live eternally with him through Christ Jesus, the God that is our Heavenly Father and we are his children. He allowed us to become heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. The God that's in the middle of everything that's going on in this world today. The God that nothing taken by surprise. So we could have the confidence and assurance that God knows what's going on in our lives. He know our shortcomings. He know our hurts, our pains. He know our sickness. And he know our direction. And God, we thank you for being the only true and living God. And we thank you for loving us more than we could love ourselves. And God, we also thank you for loving us. And we thank you, dear God, that you can't love us no more right now, today, than you do already. And for that, dear God, I say thank you. I say glory, hallelujah, to your wonderful name. God, we were created to give you glory, honor, and praise. And us coming together in fellowship to hear a word from on high, to hear what the Spirit has to say to us, to hear what God has in store for us if we lined ourselves up with it, to hear, to read, to learn, than to grow in your grace and the knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that the word don't return void and it is something that we could hold on to, that we could grow and we could learn and we could be better and we could be assured and we could begin to rest things that God has already established for us through his son, Jesus Christ. All these blessings and others asking it all in son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, I'm going to say the title of the lesson again because more people have called in on the line. And I want you to know that the title of the lesson is, If You Are Worrying,
begin to pray. And if you are praying, then stop worrying. It's real, y'all. It's effective and it is true. And we are coming from the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse. And as always, I do a little background. So I thought it was so appropriate tonight to do some background on prayer. So I'm going to start off like this. You know, many times people often ask me questions about prayer. Sometimes people say they don't know how to pray. Some people say they don't know what to pray for. And some people don't know if the effectiveness of praying and what it will accomplish. But I want to tell you tonight, because I'm asked often, is the best way to pray is standing up? Or should I sit down? Should I be kneeling or bowing down? Should my hands be open or should I close them? Should they be at my side or should I lift them up to God? They say, Sister Adam, should my eyes be closed when we pray? Is it better to pray in the church building or just pray anywhere? Should we pray in the morning when we get up? Or at night before we go to bed? Are there certain words we need to say in our prayers? They even ask, how do we begin our prayers? What is the proper way to close a prayer? You see, there's so many questions. And these are common questions asked about prayer. And they even ask what is the proper way to pray. And I come to tell you tonight, and I wonder, does any of these above things even matter? See, sometimes we put God in a box. Sometimes whoever believes strongly in lifting up your hands say that's the only way to get it. Sometimes people say you got to close your eyes or God ain't going to hear your prayer. Putting God in a box, and God is not like that. You see, far too often prayer is viewed as some magical formula. Some believe that if we do not say exactly the right things or pray in the right position, God will not hear and answer our prayer. I want you to know tonight, this is completely unbiblical. God does not answer our prayers based on when we pray, where we are, or what the position of our body is in, or in what order we word our prayers. You see, we are told in 1 John 5:14-15 to have confidence when we come to God in prayer, knowing he hears us and will grant whatever we ask as long as it is in his will. Now, that's something you have to have. You got to pray for the will of God. Don't pray out of the will of God. Don't try to take God out of his will to give you something. It's not going to happen. So that's one thing we know that we should do, and it's John, 1 John 5:14. And then you see there's a scripture in John 14:13-14, and it says, hallelujah, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. So he's saying we got to ask in the name of the Son. The Bible say that, you know, you can't get anything from God unless you go through the Son. So we know we have to ask it. It has to line up with his will. And we got to ask in the name of Jesus. Now that's scriptural. You see, according to these scriptures and many other scriptures, God answers prayer requests based on whether they are asked according to his will in the name of Jesus. We clarified that. God will answer all such prayers with a gift of his peace in your heart. You see, and how you say that, when you bring it to God and you trust and believe him, you're going to have or should have peace, because the will of God, if it's God's will, he's going to do it. And if it's not in his will, he won't do it. But it doesn't mean he loves you less or you're not going to be all right. Because even in answering of a no, he still works things out together for your good. You see, the proper way to pray is to pour out your hearts to God, being honest and open with God. Because you got to realize he already knows us better than we know ourselves. And God already knows what you're going to ask for before you do it. So come right. Come sincere. Don't think you can say a prayer that's going to sound so good, that's going to move God, trick God, or promote him into doing something he don't want to do. Just come straight to God, honestly, humbly, and make your petitions be known. You see, we are, you know, making our requests. We are to present our request to God, keeping in mind God knows what's best and will grant all requests. We see that. That's scriptural. We are to express our love, gratitude, worship to God in prayer without worrying about having just the right words to say. And I got to tell you this. Your prayer is your prayer. And if you praying earnestly and honestly with a clean heart and sincerity unto God, God honors your prayer. Come on now. Your prayer is not mine. Mine, not yours. I have encountered so many people that refuse, well, I ain't going to say, well, in a sense refuse, but won't pray out loud because they think their prayer won't be eloquent enough, or they're not going to say the right things, or they bashful, or they just holding back. But your prayer is your prayer, and it's a perfect prayer. You don't have to pray like someone else. You don't have to do it as long as someone else. There's no formula that you looking at people on the outside and formulating what's right way for you to go before God. That's a trick of the enemy, y'all. You're going to mess up. You can't mess up in a prayer to God. You're not going to sound right. You got to remember, God is more interested in the contents of your heart than the eloquence of your words. You know, the closest thing I could tell you about prayer and how to model your prayer or give you a pattern would be the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew 6:9-13. But let me tell you this, and you got to remember. You got to understand that the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer we are to memorize and recite to God. You know, people say the Lord's Prayer, God want to hear your thoughts. The Lord's Prayer was given to us as a model when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. There's different elements in the Lord's Prayer that would be helpful in your prayer. It is an example of things that should go into a prayer. The Lord's Supper starts by worshiping. And then it goes on to tell how they believe and trust in God. Hallelujah, y'all. And then if you make your request known. And then you do your confession. And then you turn around and give your submission. We ought to pray for the things the Lord Prayer talks about, using our own words and customizing it to our own journey with God. And I'm not telling you tonight, because some people, when they ask to pray, even in church, they say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You know, it's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you got, you give it to God and God understands. But the scripture has told us that it's a model. And there are elements of the Lord's Prayer that we use in our own words, in our own life, and where we are in our own life.
You see, the proper way to pray is to express our heart to God. I don't care if you're sitting, standing, kneeling, hands open or closed, eyes open or closed, in the church, at home, or outside, in the morning or at night. These are all side issues. I'm going to say that again. See, people take the side issue and makes it the front issue. These are all side issues. These are all things that you could do as far as preference. If you feel closer to God when you open your hand, open them. If you think your eyes need to be closed, close them. Not because everybody, some people do it, some don't. Some, you know, you've seen the preacher do it and, you know, you're following the leader. Just, you know, your prayer, first of all, is intimate. It's between you and God. You know, and those subject things I mentioned is personal preference. Some of them are convictions and appropriateness. You know, you might be convicted by not kneeling. Well, then kneel if you can. But if you know you can't kneel, don't be convicted about it. Just pray. You see, God's desire is for prayer to be a real and personal connection between him and us. So keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. Food for thought. And it's going to lead us right into our lesson tonight. We're in the book of Philippians, and we're in the fourth chapter, and I'm going to start at the fifth verse. I hope you have your Bible. The scripture says, let our moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, this is telling us what prayer does. Prayer will keep our mind in perfect peace. And it also tells us how we have to come. Starts off by saying, let your moderation be known unto men. Moderation means gracious or reasonableness. You know, the Bible tells us that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. So it's telling us that that's how we should live with one another. You know, because if you bickering and fighting and all of that with your neighbor, your family, and friends, one another, God said, how can you love me who you never seen and act like that with your brother and your sister who you see every day? So God said, get that right. Get your heart right with all men. Because the Lord is coming back. He's saying, then you pray about everything in season and out of season. And then when you pray, be thankful, hopeful, and believable that God was going to answer your request. He said, if you do it like that, he said, I guarantee you that you'll have peace that surpasses all understanding. He said, try it. He said, because, you know, after you do it, be thankful. Because we must thank God for what we have and trust him for what we need. And it says, be careful for nothing mean. Don't worry about anything. Learn to turn it over to prayer. Can you even imagine never being anxious about anything anymore? You see, in the world we are living in, these perilous times, there's so many things that can cause us to worry. It seems like it's impossible. We all have worries on our jobs, in our homes, with our children, with our families, with our neighbors, with our friends, at school, and even in a church house. But Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayer. Do you want to worry less? That's a question I'm asking everybody tonight. Some of you may not worry Some of you may worry a lot, and some of you may worry a little. But I ask tonight, do you want to worry less? Well, I came with an answer for you tonight. The answer to that is, if you want to worry less, then pray more. You see, true peace is not found in positive thinking, in absence of conflict, or in a good feeling. You see, true peace comes from knowing that God is in control and you can trust him. You know, they have people that have everything and they don't have no peace. So we know it's not coming from things like that. But true peace is when you trust God and know that God is in control. You wait on him. You pray and then you wait. And the bottom line, we have the victory over sin. And we can learn to be content in whatever state we are in. Because no matter what is going on in our lives, I come to tell you tonight, God got it. And we just begin to always just thank God for what we have. And trust him for what we need. See, when we really take time to thank God for everything we have, it would take us a long time. Because there's so many blessings that God is bestowing upon us that we have had them so much. I think we have a spirit of entitlement that's just the way it has to be. But common sense should tell each and every one of us that's not the way it is, because some of the things you're taking for granted, other people don't even have it. We have so much to be thankful for, y'all. If we thank God for everything we got and then trust him for what we need, we will have divine peace in times of anxieties. So wonderful that it will exceed one ability to understand it, past our understanding of the problem. Ha ha! And he has the ability to solve it by working all things out for your good. Yes, he can, y'all. But you got to believe it to be able to achieve it. You got to believe it to achieve that peace. You got to believe it. You see, while God is eager to hear our requests, they are not to be accomplished. They are to be accomplished with thanksgiving. You see, true thanksgiving, true thankfulness comes from the assurance of knowing that God can and will fix it. And watch this, y'all. It lets you know when you're thankful. Because you see, if you're so thankful about what he's already done, it gives you the assurance to know that he's been doing it. He's not going to stop. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. And it gives you the assurance that help is on the way. You got to remember, our timetable is not God's timetable. Our will is not God's will. But help is on the way. And please remember, one of the worst sins of the world is the sin of ingratitude. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is saying we got to change our mind. You know, Paul said in the book of Romans 12:1, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
We have to renew our mind, y'all. Y'all know if you really look back and think about it, how we used to think all of that foolishness. That it had to be this or had to be that or we do this and do that. And it didn't make no sense most of the time to nobody but you. Paul said we have to change our thinking. They have people, all they know to speak about, everything come out of their mouth is negative. He said, think on things that are lovely and true and pure and honest. When you put them thoughts in your head, it's going to make you smile and you're going to have peace. So we got to get that junk out of our trunk, y'all, and we got to get that mess out of our minds. And many times, half of the things we think of that cause us to have fear, the Bible has taught us that fear is the evidence of something that appears to be, that appears. And I have developed a new saying that I use. I call it the foolishness of our imagination. I read that somewhere, y'all, and I love the way it sounds. So I speak it, and when I speak it and I keep speaking, and the Holy Ghost is going to give me revelation and illumination towards it in all aspects. But tonight I say we got to take the foolishness of our imagination out of our mind. The Bible says you got to cast down your imagination and anything that exalts itself against the word of God. So, the first thing I told you about when he said that we would pray and be thankful was to wait to get peace. And now these verses that I just read is telling us how to keep the peace by transforming your mind. The Bible says, so is a man thinking, so is he. You see, what we put in our mind determines what comes out in our words and even our actions. You see, God has given us his word, and we should think on what God has said, not what is seen. See, we got to have faith in God because Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, if you're going to pray and have faith, you don't have to see it. You wait for your change to come. Because things that you can see, you don't need faith. That's why faith is so important. See, if we walk with faith, that means we trust in God because we can't see the manifestation of what we're hoping for. Hallelujah. You see, we should program our minds with thoughts that appear noble, right, lovely, kind, excellent, and praiseworthy. We must be careful what we let into our minds. And please do not lean to your own understanding. You see, Satan is putting all kind of distractions in our path. Remember, with man, all things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we have to believe it, again, I say, to achieve it. The Bible says man will let you down all the time. You see, sometimes we have to accept wrong thinking. Sometimes we have accepted wrong thinking so long we no longer see the danger. Because it's become a part of you. It's become a part of your reality. And you have been convinced by Satan that that's right for you. And you're staying on it. Look around in the world. They're standing on most of the most nonsense stuff there is. And it could be a lie in front of their face, and they want you to believe it's the truth. You see, we have accepted wrong thinking in some aspects of our lives so long we no longer see the danger. But what we are doing is compromising our spirit because we begin to say to those things that's in our mind that that's all right, even if it don't line up with the word of God. As if you afforded the privilege to make it up as you go. You decide what's necessary when God has given us his word. Oh, I don't need to do that. Oh, it don't take all of that for God. Oh, no, you don't need to go to church. Church can't save you. And so on and so on and so on. That's a trick of the devil. And, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. But remember, everything that the devil set up for our bad, God can turn it around for our good. Remember Job. You see, in the end, Job got double for his trouble. You understand? Job trusted God for what he had. God, he thanked God for what he had, and he trusted God for what he needed. And he waited for his change to come. And he got double for his trouble. And we know that it was only a test. You know, some things that God is allowing you to go through, because everything he has to orchestrate or allow it, could only be a test. We have to watch out about certain things we do on a daily basis, and television, internet, certain books, ungodly conversations, movies, and even magazines are used by Satan. Satan wants to distract us and keep our mind in two places it shouldn't be. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And I'm not saying everything dealing with these things are bad, but you have to examine yourself. You know, one time I heard I don't know if a man made a confession or what, but this man had turned his life around. And I think he was an adulteress. And the man was doing everything he could to walk the straight and narrow way. And he said one day he was outside cutting his grass. And he had his music on. And the circular music came on. And, you know, the records was playing, and he knew the records, so he was really jamming. And then the words of the song got in it. You know, it was songs like Me and Me, Mr. Jones, Got a Thing Going On, you know, My Side Piece, and so on and so on and so on. And it put him in a place to make him think about what he used to do and how he enjoyed it. And he said he got inside and got ready to take a bath and had made a phone call and was going to walk back in what he had walked out of. He caught himself. So the point I'm trying to make is sometimes you could put yourself in positions that could take you to places you don't want to be. The Bible says we should guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Learn to protect your spirit. Remember, whatever you feed the most, that is what's going to grow. I don't care who you are. Whatever you feed the most. And you might say, Sister Diane, what you mean feed the most? Where you put your most time, your energy, your money, your resources, and your talents. Whatever you feed the most, that's what's going to grow. It's not good enough to hear or to read the word of God or even to know it well. I come to tell you tonight, Satan knows the word of God. And he probably knows every word of God better than us. But that don't mean he lived by the word of God or want to change and don't even want to accept the fact in the word of God where it says we have the victory. So I'm showing you that knowing the word of God is not good enough. We must also put it in practice. How easy it is to listen to a sermon on Sunday and forget what the preacher said. Hallelujah. I'm a witness to that. Or you read the Bible and get up from reading it and never ask the question, God, what is this saying to me? And what would you have for me to do? Being exposed to the word of God is not good enough if it doesn't lead to obedience. And ask yourself when you read, God,
what is it in here for me? And we get to the last scriptures. In verse 10, said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. This is Paul writing to the Philippians, y'all. He said, wherein ye have also careful, you were also careful, but ye lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Notwithstanding ye have done well, that ye communicate with my affliction. Now the Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from the church of Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gifts, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul is saying here, Paul was the preacher teacher. He was also an apostle. And Paul went around to the different churches. And Paul used to preach. And they used to, you know, like they do not collect a collection for the preacher. But he's saying that many of the churches stopped giving him. But the Philippians kept giving. That's what he's saying here. He said, but you kept giving. He said, but I want to let you know this. I accept gifts from you, but not from everybody. He said, because I don't want nobody to think that I'm only doing this for the money. He said, so I learned how to be content in the state that I'm in. And he had a different perspective because he trusted God for what he wanted, and he thanked God for what he had. That's why Paul is able to say, I learned to be content in any state that I'm in. Paul was in jail many times because he was preaching the gospel, which was a no-no. And many times Paul was locked up and he couldn't support himself. He couldn't get things that he needed. Said many times the churches wouldn't send anything. He said, but I'm not telling you this because I want something from you. And I don't take from everybody, but I take if I have a need. He said, but let me tell you what else. He said, look what he said here. He said, number 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, I take it because you have given and I receive it. And it goes on your account as a person giving. See, things you give the right way, it goes on your account. You've given it to someone, but it is a credit as a fruit to your account. That's what the word of God says. You see, the Philippians shared in Paul financial support while he was in prison. Paul didn't accept support, like I told you, from everywhere. He took money from them because they was willing givers. And besides that, he had a need. Paul learned how to view life from God's point of view. You know, you might ask the question, how can we find true contentment? The answer is in our perspective or priorities and source of power. Come on, y'all. How you gonna get that peace? I'm going to say that again.
Hallelujah. It determines your perspective. How do you think about things? And what are you thinking about? Your priorities, where do you, what you feed the most? And who you're getting your power source from? God doesn't give us Superman ability to accomplish everything we can imagine without regards to his will and interest. What God has for you is for you. And everything that God has for you to do is for you to do. Don't forget that part. People boldly staying on. Yeah, because what God's got for me is for me. But I come to tell you today, whatever God's got for you, my sisters and brothers, to do, God got that for you to do. And he already provided the strength and the provisions to accomplish it. That's a good deal, y'all. Paul knew that the weapons formed against him wouldn't prosper. So he stayed contented. He said, yes, I've been hungry. Yes, I've been without. Yes, I didn't have nowhere to stay at one time or another. Come on, y'all. He said, but I was in content because I know it wasn't the end. He said, I know my God's going to supply my needs. He said, I'm going to wait till my change comes. See, we want everything quick like a microwave. God sometimes do it quick. And sometime it may be delayed. And sometime the answer is no. You see, it's a funny thing about money. Because money is so magnetic, so much magical to some people in their eyes. And it's magnetic. And giving it away to some people sometimes is stressful. You see, money matches our energy. It represents our day-to-day security. Some people believe that giving money away puts them and their future at risk. But I want to tell you that giving ensures our future harvest. You're going to reap what you sow, right? You sow little, you reap little. Right? That's a no-brainer. That's right there. That's like the law of gravity. What goes up, comes down. Giving is not just for the receiver, y'all, but it's all for the gift, also for the giver as well, so that it can be accounted to their account. That's what Paul said. So what do he mean by that? You will be establishing your eternal partnership. Many of us know how to give. This is strong too, but don't know how to receive. We should accept gifts so that the giver can receive credit to their account. And let me tell you why. You may be the only person that they're willing to give. You know, most people, they can only give to someone in their family, their friends who love them, their husband, their wife. That's the only people they'll give to. And then they give you something, and then you don't receive it. But let it be credited to the account. See, and when you express your thankfulness for the gift, it may encourage them to give to others as well. And our last scripture for tonight is said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me say this again. We can trust that God will always meet our needs. Listen to what I say, needs. I didn't say wants. I didn't say things that don't line up with the word of God. But God will take care of your physical needs and your spiritual needs. Come on, y'all. Whatever you need on earth, he will always supply. This scripture is not just talking about the physical needs, but most of all, our spiritual needs. The worst thing in the world is not to die. but to die without your name being written in the book of life. That's a need, to have your name be written in the book of life, and God supplied that need for you through his son, Christ Jesus. And whatever you need in heaven, he has already supplied. Remember Jesus, when he left the earth, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Come on, y'all. He said, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. So if Jesus has left over 2,000 years ago to go and prepare a place for us, evidently, whatever we need in heaven, the provisions are already there. According as his divine power has given unto him all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Come on now. We must remember the difference between wants and needs. Most people want to feel good and avoid discomfort or pain, but they tell you sometime no pain, no gain. We may not get what we want. We might not get all of it by trusting in Christ. But our attitude, hallelujah, and appetite can change. Have you ever, you know, some people might say, I have a problem with this and problem. You're asking God to change your appetite. And God will do it, y'all. Some people want everything they see. They need a different appetite. And God will do that too. So if you need an appetite change and an attitude change, then do what the scriptures say, pray. If you begin thanking God for what you have and truly trusting him, which is to say that God knows best, we will enter into true essence, joy, peace, and contentment. If you need it, trust God and pray. And pray and trust God. Pray and trust God and trust God and pray and back and forth, back and forth. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture tonight. It's Matthew's 11th chapter and the 30th verse. And it says, this is Jesus talking, y'all. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he said. Take his yoke upon you. This lets us know God never designed a life for us that would be hard or impossible to achieve. We're the one making it complicated and difficult. God is doing all the work necessary for you, my sisters and brothers. We just have to obey and submit. And I come to tell you, whatever you need, God got it. Be thankful and live. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? You can press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Anything you might want to say. If something, a lesson touched your heart and you want to share it with your sisters and brothers, you can. Sister Rosemary Coleman. Sister Rosemary Coleman,
hi.
Your mic is open.
Hey, good evening, Sister Diane.
Good evening.
I really need it. Good evening to everybody. I really needed to hear this tonight because I have been praying to God for something, and it's like I'm asking him then I'm saying, I don't think, because, you know, it's like I'm praying but not having faith in what I'm praying. It's like this past weekend for Thanksgiving, I was praying. I was just stressed out because I didn't think it was going to work out good for my family because I really didn't have nowhere to stay, and I kept stressing. And God came out, came through and showed our way. They had a place to lay their head and be comforted. So I've been praying on something for this weekend coming up. And yesterday I was praying. I said, you know, Lord, I keep praying to you. And then I'm not really in my heart feeling it's going to happen. I just asked him to give me more faith in him that when I ask him, it'll happen. And for some reason yesterday, Sister Diane, I got a peace in my heart with what I asked for. And I started packing my suitcase. I said, I'm packing my suitcase and I ain't even got the money yet. But I didn't worry about it. I just said, God, whatever you're going to do is going to happen. You know, if it's your will, it's going to happen. But you come right back to teaching me, telling me how I was praying. Because I wasn't saying, if it's your will in Jesus' name. I was just saying, if it's your will. But you know what? This lesson tonight, I mean, really showed me why I'm having my peace now, that I'm praying to him from my heart, and I'm just sitting back waiting on him, whether it happens or not. Whatever happens, I'm going to still be okay with it, you know? And I really needed this lesson tonight. I really needed this lesson tonight.
Praise God. Praise God. God is working things out for us, my sisters. Sometimes God says, call a line. Because he said, look, she need a message. I know what Sister Diane is going to talk about tonight. I'm going to prick her heart to call a line. Now, you called, but, you know, many times God prompts us to do things, we don't do it. So the word is saying God will supply all our needs. He will supply. He's supplying the needs. We not sometimes getting in position to receive it. Because we could hear, you know, the Spirit of God saying, you know, what we should do or don't do. And we do it our way. And then we get what we got.
That's true.
God arranged every opportunity. They may have a lesson going to be taught on money or something. And God, I click on the TV and the man is talking. You know, God makes that's how God arrange and rearrange the matters in our lives. And some of the things we want and some of the things we need it from others. So that's why God do the connection and connect this and this together and this and this together and this together to supply the needs. And that's what he did. He gave you confirmation on what you was feeling. You see, he didn't let what you had received return void. He began to build on it. And that's why you're here tonight.
Yes, Lord.
That's when people say confirmation. So if it happened and it was good, and now you hear it and it's good, maybe your next step's going to be in that direction, and it could take some of the other thinking away from you.
Yes.
That's how we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we, you know, began to be all that Christ wants us to be in and just really enjoy what God got for us. All the provisions for us to live a peaceful life is here. Why we not walking in peace is because of us. It's here for the action. It's already in the rim. How some people, if peace wasn't in the rim and God has no respect to persons, how some people could be so peaceful and others could be not peaceful? And in the world we live, not everybody got concerns. If it's no more than a pandemic.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
So we just have to trust God. Thank him for what we got and trust him for what we need.
Yes,
Lord, I thank you for what I got. And I'm going to trust you for what everything I need. Because you see, when you say, I thank you for what I got, it ain't like you never had a house. It ain't like since you didn't have your house, he ain't been working it out.
Yeah.
But I thank you. And I'm going to trust you because I got a need right now. Thank God for everything that you have and trust him. Because if you don't trust him, you're going to be compromising your faith. And that's the trick of the devil.
Amen. Amen.
So thank you, my sister, so much for the comment. Anyone else would like to say anything at this time? It's so good when we could have comments and dialogue when we're on the program, because it sometimes take it to another level, and sometimes the caller that pressed the button say it's something that really helped another person, you know, because sometimes the way they say it, a person could receive it than the way I said it. And that's why we have this forum, that when the thing is over, and if there's ever anything you don't understand, you know, it's always good to press the button and we could figure it out. But I thank you, my sister, for calling in. And we're going to continue to pray for you, because we already have you on our prayer list. And we're going to continue to pray for you and your family. They're still praying for your sons.
Thank you.
And you be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if that's it for the night, if that's it for tonight, and no one else have anything like they would like to interject, we could have our benediction. And I'm coming from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. And the scripture says, grow in grace. Y'all know God's grace is sufficient. If you believe God's grace is sufficient, and you grow even more in believing that it's sufficient, that's going to guarantee you peace, y'all. Paul said, God's grace is sufficient. Do you believe that tonight? If God's grace is sufficient, and look what the definition of God's grace is. God's grace is giving us everything we never deserve. God's grace is what gives us what we can't achieve. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. Now, if God's grace is sufficient, and that's the definition of grace, why wouldn't we have peace? So grow in that grace and then receive the knowledge of your source, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And let the church say amen. That's our proud program for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back next week. But until then, I pray, and I will continue to pray for each and every one of you, that God keeps your heart and your mind in perfect peace, that you receive a peace that surpasses all understanding, that you walk in the peace of God that gives you the joy and serenity in your heart. Let us not worry, because Jesus already has paid the price, and all we owe is to him. And that's it for tonight. And everybody be blessed tonight.